You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, The Marriage of Amphibians. Now, here is Dr. Meyer.
Do you think that marriages are made in heaven? I don't know. What I do know is that a good marriage has to be a labor of love right here on earth. That's a fact. That fact was a shocker to David and Melissa. When they married 4 years ago, they believed the myth that their work was over. Melissa told me, "You think as you're going through it, the dating, and then you get engaged, and you start planning the wedding, and you know, that's a lot. And you think, that's all the work. And you think, whew, once we get married, that'll be it." That's just not how it ends up. And David said, "It was very difficult. We thought we'd made a mistake. There was something missing that we thought we had, and now it was gone." We'll come back to Melissa and David's story in a few minutes. Theirs turns out to be an encouraging story, the kind that can benefit us all. Jesus once said, "What God has joined together, let no one put asunder." For decades now, and for all sorts of reasons, men and women, Christian men and women among them, have been putting asunder what God intended to be a lifelong union. In this series of messages, I'll be talking about Christian marriage. Through Bible passages and through real-life stories, like Melissa and David's, we'll see that what God has joined together, He can also help keep together. You know as well as I do that our society needs stable marriages. Therefore, I hope you'll keep listening, even if you're not presently married, if you're hoping to meet the right person, or if you prefer the single life. You do need a realistic view, God's view, of the pressures of modern life and marriage. If death has taken your spouse, what a great witness you can be to others about the precious and fragile nature of marriage. If you're divorced, you can encourage others with the Word of God and also with that painful real-life wisdom you've gained. And if you're struggling in your marriage, if you fear that what God has put together is coming asunder, please learn from listening that there are Christians who care. What God has joined together needs God's blessing. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "If the Lord does not build the house, it's useless for the builders to work on it." So let's start this series of messages by going to heaven in prayer. Eternal God, creator and preserver of all life, author of salvation and giver of all grace, look with favor upon the world you have made, and for which your Son gave His life. Look with mercy upon the men and women you have made one flesh in holy marriage. Give them wisdom and devotion in the ordering of their common life, that they may be to the other a strength in need, a counselor in perplexity, a comfort in sorrow, and a companion in joy. Grant that their wills may be so knit together in your will, and their spirits in your spirit, that they may grow in love and peace with you and one another all the days of their life. May your mercy heal those who have been hurt by marriage and have suffered the pain of divorce. Bind up their broken hearts with your consolation, and give them grace to be witnesses of your mercy to others. To those who yearn for marriage, but to whom a spouse has not been given, we pray that you ward off bitter loneliness and any temptation to despair, and give the joy and hope in living that all people should and can have in Christ. Give us all a greater love toward you and toward one another, that we may do what is pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Marriage is tough, I know. 24 years ago, Diane and I took our vows. While I'd like to think that I was quite a catch for Diane, and while she could think that she was a marvelous catch for Dale, and she was, it hasn't always been easy. we're still not immune to some difficult days. One reason that marriage is tougher today than it was decades ago is because many of us are amphibians. That's the picture I want to plant in your mind today, the picture of an amphibian. The World Book says that an amphibian is an animal with scaleless skin that, with a few exceptions, lives part of its life in water and part on land. There are about 3,000 kinds of amphibians. Actually, there are 3,001 kinds. Most of us are amphibians, too. David Wells, an observer of contemporary culture, has written, "The explanations of why the model of enduring marriage has not been able to sustain itself in the modern world are numerous and complex. But there can be no doubt that part of the explanation lies in the fact that modern people have had to become amphibious to belong to many worlds, many places, and many institutions. As spouses begin to direct their energy, attention, and commitment to an increasing number of worlds among ever more centers of responsibility, they will inevitably be prevented from focusing on marriage as much as they once did." To illustrate, 6 weeks ago I met Ken and Martha. They're a great couple. They live on a dairy farm in central Illinois. On that farm, Ken and Martha have spent some 30 years of their marriage. There they worked side by side at farm chores, and there they together raised 3 children. Today they continue to farm, and now they also operate a bed and breakfast. Ken and Martha are not amphibians. By contrast, David and Melissa are like most modern couples. They are amphibians. Each one has no involvement in the other's work. David is a policeman. Melissa is an accountant. Unlike Ken and Martha, who work together, David and Melissa's work takes them away from each other. And by the way, it's not just married people who are forced to live the amphibious life. Single parents are forced to be amphibious, sliding in and out of parenting, work, and the sliver of a social life. Single people, too, are amphibious, sliding in and out of work and personal relations with friends and larger family. Whether you're single or married, it's tougher today than it was decades ago because our lives are more segmented, more disjointed, too unconnected. Like an amphibian that spends part of its time in the water and part on land, we spend part of our time at work, part at home, part at the golf course or fitness club, a little hour in church, or whatever. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to understand that this modern lifestyle has hurt marriage. The good news is that the Spirit of God is greater than the disruptive nature of modern life. When God joins amphibians together in holy marriage, He sets them to the labors of lasting love. David and Melissa are making their marriage a labor of love. God's part of that. Melissa said, "We realized we weren't alone. It wasn't just the two of us trying to make this marriage work. We could rely on God." God is the one who can best tie together the segmented, disjointed life of an amphibian. God's the one whose love through Jesus Christ can make the marriage of amphibians a lifelong blessing. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "Brothers and sisters, because of God's compassion toward us, I encourage you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, dedicated to God and pleasing to Him. This kind of worship is appropriate for you. Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect." Don't become like the people of this world, the Word says. Modern life, we've seen, is segmented, disjointed, amphibious. No surprise. That reflects the disunity of sin. Wholeness is not our natural lot. Ever since Adam and Eve hid themselves from God because they had disregarded His will, our tendency has been to go away from God, not come to God. Romans 8, verse 7, "The corrupt nature has a hostile attitude toward God. It refuses to place itself under the authority of God's standards, because it can't. The consequences are all around you. We not only find ourselves farther from God, but also farther from one another. Sin is a centrifugal action. It propels us away from God and away from each other. That's not good for relationships or for marriage in any age, but it's an especially dangerous combination in this day and age. Combine sin with the amphibious nature of modern society, and it's no wonder that the marriages God has put together have increasingly been torn asunder. Blessed be the tie that binds. God made it His labor of love to come after us when we were going away from Him. If sin is a centrifugal force, one that propels us from God and from each other, the cross of Jesus Christ is God's centripetal force. And through the message of the cross, the Spirit of God draws us to a loving God who forgives and forgets our past sins. And with the resurrection of Christ on Easter, God gives hope to the people He's reclaimed for Himself. This isn't just the hope of heaven, it is that, but it's also a hope that can make us upbeat and positive as we struggle with the problems of relationships and marriage in this amphibious age. All this is the mercy, the compassion of God that Romans calls to our minds. Brothers and sisters, because of God's compassion toward us, Paul writes in Romans 12, I encourage you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, dedicated to God and pleasing to Him. That means don't isolate God to one segment of your busy life. Why hold on to the notion that God is confined to the church when He wants to be with you and bless you always? Why hold the notion that God is only a marriage counselor when God wants to bring a wholeness, a unity to all the aspects of your life? Why not let the worship of God be the guiding thought in every place you go and in everything you do? The Old Testament book of Deuteronomy says, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. There are simple ways to do that, to overcome the segmented, disjointed nature of amphibious life and replace it with the wholeness of faith. Many people not only have a Bible and devotional literature at home, but they also keep a Bible or devotional book at work. Seeing and using that during the workday ties their thoughts to home and church. It unifies what otherwise could be a disjointed life. Many people use their commuting time for devotion. That, too, ties together the otherwise disjointed parts of amphibious life. I've also met people who carry a small cross in their pocket or purse. That's a reminder, both of God's compassion at the cross of Christ and their desire to be, as St. Paul says, living sacrifices dedicated to God and pleasing to Him. When the Spirit of God draws your whole life together in God, the next step is unity with those you love. Just as we don't confine our worship of God only to an hour in church on Sunday, so a husband and wife will strive against the forces of modern life that pull them apart. David is doing that with little labors of love. Since his job doesn't tie him down to a desk, he sometimes drives by Melissa's office and surprises her with flowers. Perhaps you could do the same with your spouse. If you can't do it in person, how about a phone call? Stop what you're doing for a moment to check in and see how the day's going for your husband or wife. There are many ways you can struggle against the amphibious lifestyle. Many employers today offer flex time. If that's the case where you work, are you structuring your work time to maximize time with your spouse? And as telecommuting becomes more and more common, people have greater opportunities to work from home. That means that husbands and wives are presented with new ways to overcome the amphibious nature of modern marriage. Remember what God says to you. Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. We've had years of bad news about marriage. Today there's good news about marriage. By not conforming yourselves to the pattern of this world, but rather being transformed by the Spirit of God, you and I can make marriage a successful labor of love. David and Melissa are. So are Ken and Martha, and so are Dale and Diane. What God has joined together, God can help keep together. Unless you build it, Father, the house is built in vain. Unless you, Savior, bless it, the joy will turn to pain. But nothing breaks a marriage of hearts in you made one. The love your spirit hallows is endless love begun. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.